when was your last trip collecting trash on and from the water?
I believe that us humans, we have the responsibility to keep it clean.
It's a utopian mindset to think we can clean our oceans completely.
Last year, we hit a milestone, 100 tons of trash.
Fritz for Future, Henkel's sustainability podcast.
Doing something good for the environment can be a lot of fun. And with that, welcome to a new episode of Fritz for Future, Henkel's sustainability podcast. Today, we are talking about Green Kayak, a non-profit organization from Copenhagen in Denmark. Founded in 2017, Green Kayak offers free paddle tours in many cities all over the world. There are only two simple conditions. Firstly, you must collect waste from the water during your trip. And secondly, you must share your experience on social media using the hashtag Green Kayak. So it's a pleasure to welcome Tobias Weber Andersen today, the founder of Green Kayak.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's really a pleasure. So Tobias, before you tell us more about Green Kayak and how the NGO came to be, I'm curious, when was your last trip collecting trash on and from the water?
It was in the weekend. It was actually in Stockholm and did a cleanup together with one of our partners. It was actually really nice to get to paddle inside the center of Stockholm, the canals there. And I live in Copenhagen, so great to get out of the city and paddle in some of these other cities that we also have kayaks in.
Yeah, I can imagine. Great. So now let's talk about the background of your NGO. How and when did you come up with the idea of Green Kayak?
I launched the concept in 2017. And at that time, I was co-owner of a kayak business in Copenhagen called Kayak Republic. So at that time, I was doing a lot of kayak courses and kayak tours in the canals of Copenhagen. So the canals were basically my office. I spent a lot of time in the kayaks and on the water. And I started noticing these weird objects floating around in the harbor and like, oh, there's a plastic bag. There's another one. And slowly, you know, it got to my mind and I was more conscious about it and also getting frustrated about it. So we started doing these yearly cleanups where we invited people to come and join for free, come use our kayaks, let's clean up the canals before the season starts. And a lot of people showed up every year and lots of kilos were removed within just a few hours. So I think that kind of kickstarted my view, the issue, the problem, and also what the solution could be. So I went for a run in one of the parks here in Copenhagen, and I was thinking about this, what to do and how could we overcome this issue. And the idea came to me that I should do this concept where we could have people using the kayaks every day. It was important that there were no money involved. It should be for free. So the decision to book the kayak should be easy. And I think if it's for free, then it's super easy. And what we wanted in return was to have people picking up trash from the water while having fun, while exploring the city, you know, do something good for the environment and pick up trash. And then we also wanted people to share their experience on social media because we wanted as many people as possible to know what's going on, to see with their eyes that there is actually quite a lot of plastic and other kinds of stuff floating around in the water. So that's how the idea was born. And we launched the first kayak in 17 and poured some champagne over it and had some fun. And from there, the rest is history.
The rest is history. And having a good idea during a run, I know that very well. So it's a good way to create new ideas, I think. So since you started Green Kayak in 2017, how much trash has been collected on the kayak trips? And how do you measure the amount of trash? So do the people have to weigh the trash afterwards?
Fact check.
On every Green Kayak location, there's a digital scale. So when they finish, they weigh how many kilos they've collected and they report it to us in the app. And last year we hit a milestone, 100 tons of trash. And now we are already on 108 tons of trash. It's a crazy amount of trash. And you should also take into consideration that it's tiny bits of trash from the water. So it's thousands and thousands of pieces of trash. So it feels good to know that 108 tons of trash is now removed from the water because of this idea, this concept, and because so many people have involved themselves and booked their time slot in our green kayaks. And actually, we're getting close to 70,000 people that have used the kayak. So it's a lot.
It's really a lot. So what happens with the trash afterwards?
Afterwards, they weigh the trash, they put it in the app. Then on each green kayak location, they get rid of the trash. Some locations, they have sorting possibilities. And then it's being taken by the municipality and transported to power plant, to the incinerary, and transformed into electricity, energy.
So in your answer before, you highlight that collecting trash is not the only important matter when it comes to your NGO. There's a further significant aspect that you like to emphasize and accomplish with Green Kayak. What is it?
Yeah, 108 tons of trash is, of course, something you can grasp. That's something you can imagine in your head. But at the same time, it's just a tiny bit of what's actually out there and what's being dumped in the ocean like every day. So we know that Green Kayak is not the solution. We're not going to save the oceans from plastic pollution. But involving people, showing them the issue with the pollution in the ocean, and connecting them to the ocean, that's important, because once you connect with the ocean, you start care for the ocean, then you automatically also want to protect it and take care of it. And plastic pollution in the ocean, it is a man-made problem. And I believe that we, us humans, we have the responsibility to clean it, but also to keep it clean. So on our shoulders, we are happy to say that around 70,000 people have now been involved, and they have shared their knowledge with their friends online. I believe that's where we have the biggest impact, because you can just sit there and just wait for the right decisions to be made, but you can also go and do something yourself. And it's important that every voice matters and we need to speak up. That's the impact.
Yeah, it's a very strong feeling to come in action and take action. I guess that's really important. So you started the project in Copenhagen. How did the city react? It sounds like great marketing potential.
Copenhagen likes to show the different green initiatives. And this one has been also welcomed by the city and still is. And we've gained some acknowledgement from different parties, getting some awards. And I think what we saw in the beginning was that all the kayaks we had here in Copenhagen, they were just booked way out in the future. And people were super stoked to book the kayak and, you know, do something themselves. I think they've kind of been waiting for it to happen. So they go and do something about all the trash they see in the water. In Copenhagen, we're very blessed to have clean waters where you can actually swim in the water inside the city. It's amazing. And all Copenhageners, they use this opportunity throughout the summer and also throughout the winter. And more and more people travel here to get that same experience, which is unique. And not many cities have this opportunity in a capital to go swim. But all these people, they also see the plastic bags and all kinds of stuff floating around. So even though the water is clean and we can swim, there is still an issue.
Currently, there are also green kayaks in several other European countries. You talked about Sweden at our beginning, and there are some in Tokyo, in Japan. So here in Germany, people can book green kayaks in Berlin and Hamburg. How do you handle this? Is the concept similar to a franchise system?
We also actually now have kayaks in Leipzig. They're new on the map, and we also have kayaks in Norway and in Finland. But it's not a franchise. We manage all the kayaks, all the countries, but we work with locals in the cities For example, here in Copenhagen, we have around 16 kayaks that you can use, and they are placed on what we call green kayak hosts. So a green kayak host could be like a stand-up paddle rental, a cafe at the water, a school or a museum at the water. So we ask them if they want to be a part of our network. No money involved, but they get the kayak, one or two kayaks, and the equipment, and we add them to our booking system and our platform, and then they become a green kayak host. So pull out the app and you book a kayak, then you can see the different locations on the app. So for example, if you book a kayak in Berlin, you go to the location that, where you booked the kayak, and they will provide you with the kayak and the equipment and wish you a good trip on the water. So all these locations, we vary depending on them, and super happy to have them on board. They don't earn any money on it, but they get to say that they are also doing something good for the environment, which is great.
And if a city is interested in expanding your project to their areas, what do they need to consider before collaborating with you? Is there a checklist? I can also imagine that it is probably not possible to use your kayaks on all bodies of water due to safety concerns.
Yeah, of course, that's one of the checkpoints that they need to look at first. If there's a lot of current in the canals, then it's not really suitable and not safe, because most of the people who book our kayaks, they don't have any kayak experience. But the kayak itself is very stable, very safe. But it's important that the water in the city is quite calm. And then the city just need to reach out to us. And then we start a dialogue about how it works to be a partner with us. And we explain them all the benefits and what we do to maintain the green kayak throughout the whole season.
And how do you finance a new green kayak spot? So you mentioned that there is no money in it, but you need to buy the kayaks and you have to hire staff for the new spots. So how does that go?
Yeah, we're a very small NGO with only two full-time and two part-time. Yeah, we do need money to manage this NGO to be able to give these kayaks to the different locations in the different cities. As you said, to pay for the kayaks and the equipment, but also to pay us so we can spend time of this full-time. We do this by starting partnerships with the municipality or a company that wants to support our cause. So they get their logo on our kayaks, and then we agree with the municipality or with the company on how many kayaks they want and in which cities, which countries. And then we do the rest. We research and find the best locations and we manage the whole thing from there. But it's really nice to be in partnership with the municipality and companies, because they don't do it just because they want their logo on the guys. They do it because they really like the concept. So it's a super good relationship and partnerships, and it's important to us.
Mm, that sounds great. Regarding the kayaks, are they special in any way? So I would think you often have volunteers who have never been in a kayak before and never used the equipment you need to collect waste from the water. So how does that work?
Well, first of all, when you book a kayak, you need to be above 18, and of course you need to be sober, but you don't need any sea kayak experience, because from my previous work with teaching sea kayak, I've gained a lot of experience in regards of safety. So I've taken all this experience and put it into this concept. So the kayak itself is really big. It's actually made for two adults and two children. And then we just put the waste basket in the middle of the kayak. And it's not a sea kayak that you sit in, but it's a sit-on-top kayak. So it's open, which means if there's any water coming into the kayak, there are four holes in the kayak, so it flows out through that. And it's a very flat bottom kayak. That means it's very stable. And we have around 70,000 people using the kayaks, but we've never heard about the kayak flipping over. So that's a good statistic.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so it's important for us, of course, that the kayak is really, really safe and easy to paddle. And it's not like paddling a canoe, like zigzag through the city, very straight. So it's very easy to paddle. But you don't need any experience. It's very super simple and not complicated.
Yeah, no worries to do it as a family and with children. So that's great to hear.
Yeah, you can do it with children, but, you know, it's your own responsibility. And
yeah,
it's great fun to do it with children, actually, because they really think they know they're on a treasure hunt. And it's super exciting for them to see what's in the water and they feel very proud of the catch.
Great. We already mentioned it earlier, the volunteers who book your kayaks bring their experiences to social media to raise awareness for the issue of water pollution in our lakes, rivers and oceans. Do you remember a story that touched you in a special way?
Yeah, I do. I got an email from a lady. I think she was around 70 years old. She was at one of these street food markets in the city. She went to the water and have her food there and just enjoy the view. And she wrote to me that she cares a lot about the environment and the ocean. So she was really sad because the wrapping, the paper around her burger or what it was, it flew into the water and out of her hands and into the water. And she was like, oh no. And then around the corner came one of our green kayaks and picked it up. And so she was happy to experience this. And because otherwise you don't take off your shirt or all your clothes and jump into the water. Nobody does that. That was the first day she learned about green kayak. And yeah, she wrote a really nice email to me thanking for this concept. So that was great.
Such a lovely story.
Yeah.
So green kayak is a great way of doing something good while also doing something fun. So we heard about that. Do you have any further tips for our listeners how they can protect the environment and keep our waters clean in their daily life?
How to start? Top tips.
There's been some studies saying that around 80% of the trash in the water comes from land. So I have this conversation very often with people like, why do you think that the trash is in the water? And when you look around in the city, you see that the edge of the street goes straight into the water. There's no like barriers, there's no fences or anything. So if there's a plastic bag on the ground, then it only takes a little bit of wind to push it into the water. And once it's in the water, it will sink to the bottom or it will float to the ocean and it will probably stay there forever. So one thing we can do is to be very cautious about our own trash. I often see in the water the top of the cigarette package, you know, the small piece of plastic, which is super thin. We pick those up as well. Or if you have a candy bar, you open it, put it in your pocket and bring it home or to the nearest waste basket. And then don't choose a waste basket in the city, which is full or, well, less full. Go to the next one, use that one if it's more empty, because there's a lot of animals in the city, birds and so, that this is where they eat. Like they pull up the things from the basket if it's full to check if there's anything to eat. And then it's, again, just a little bit of wind and it ends up in the water. So be cautious about this. But also, if you stumble upon any trash on the street, pick it up. It might not be the nicest, cleanest experience, but it also matters.
Great tips. I think it's utopian mindset to think we can clean our oceans and other bodies of water completely and keep them that way forever. So what is your long-term goal at Green Kayak?
That is to become unemployed. Meaning it's clean out there, no trash in the water. That will be like the optimal. But yeah, you're laughing. It's not going to happen anytime soon, that's for sure. So what we are trying to do is to keep expanding Green Kayaks to more countries, to more cities, to more people. And that's our contribution, to involve as many people as possible in the fight for cleaner oceans. That's what we do.
So you have recently opened a green kayak spot in Tokyo. Are there any further plans to expand outside of Europe?
What's next?
You're mainly focused on Europe. So the next step for us will be the Netherlands and France. That's the next step for us. So if there's anybody listening out there that wants to support the cause and help us in succeed this, then yeah, we need them to reach out to us.
I'm sure there are some people or companies, I'm absolutely sure. So Tobias, it was absolutely great to have you on our podcast. Many thanks to you and to your whole team for your contribution to our environment. And we wish you all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
And you, dear listeners, if you should plan a city trip sometime soon, check out if Green Kayak is available there. And if they are, why not do something good for the environment while having a lot of fun? So this is our tip for your next trip. Thank you for tuning into Fritz for Future. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as we did, show us some love by leaving a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our channel. You have an innovative sustainability project or an inspiring guest in mind, or perhaps just a burning question you'd like to ask us, then send us a message to fritzforfuture@henkel.com. We are looking forward to having you join us for our next episode. I'm Janine, your host, and this is Fritz for Future, Henkel's sustainability podcast. Take care.
Fritz for Future, Henkel's sustainability podcast.